More fake news? We got more fake news all over the place, this time with AJ Brown. More fake Brandon Ayuk news. So we have those two things to cover. JD5 is him. We already know that, right? He's a Saturn man. And he's very likely to be going number 2 overall to the Washington Commanders. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about more Nick Chubb news. Someone's at the front door. Who's at the front door? Looks like an Amazon package, potentially. We've got more news to cover. Mike Thomas making a reemergence. More Deshaun Watson news. The Fantasy Football Show JD5 edition begins right now. And I got a brand new JD5 and AR5 animation for you. Let's go file in.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios. It's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
So here we go, here we go, here we go. More fake news, AJ Brown, fake news. Now, in defense of people that talk about and report about players unfollowing teams, we do that. If AJ Brown unfollowed the Eagles, which he created that stink walking into the playoffs, but he's patched things up, he wants to stay in Philadelphia. If he had unfollowed the Eagles, I would have reported on it. I want to make that abundantly clear. But this man merely followed some Patriot players. He changed his profile to Tom Brady because he loves Tom Brady. He didn't unfollow the Eagles. And all these little Mickey Mouse pages everywhere started like panicking and creating a bunch of, fake buzz and everything. And there was nothing to go on. It was like him talking about Tom Brady. He wasn't unfollowing the Eagles. It was pretty ridiculous. And he immediately clap back on social media, which was funny to see some of these pages then delete their comments like they do in a very, tail between your legs fashion. Journalism's dead. Nobody has a journalism degree. No one has any experience. People come out and start talking about football. They never played football or don't have journalism degrees, don't have any sort of journalism ethics. Nobody knows anything about this stuff. They just got good at creating a social media following, creating graphics, putting up controversial topics. They grow a page, impressively grow an Instagram or a Twitter page, but they have no ball knowledge other than watching it. They have no analyst knowledge, no scouting knowledge. They bring nothing to the table when they make all of these people clamor over news. It's kind of a frustrating thing, but it's also, laughable. But we know it's not laughable. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll circle back to the AJ Brown, the Brandon Ayuk fake news today. There was more fake news. We're going to talk real quickly about the most important topic right now, the positive stuff right now. Number 2 overall, this is from Adam Schefter. It says, about the number 2 pick, Peter's on possibly trading the number 2 overall pick. We feel great about staying at number 2. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios trading down. There were several reports on this. The one right below it, GM Adam Peters said that they're real close to finalizing who they want to select at the number 2 overall draft spot, which I believe that because Adam Peters knows ball so much, he's such a great scout, talent evaluator. Those Niner fans that are watching right now, and I do have a number of Niner fans, you know damn well who Adam Peters is. He is was your GM. and I know John's done some good things. He really has. The Christian McCaffrey acquisition was phenomenal. John has done a good job. I give my hats off to John. He has actually turned into a pretty damn good GM, I do think. But Adam Peters was making a lot of the decisions in terms of like the later talent in talent evaluation. Kittle, he found Kittle. Brock Purdy had a big part of finding Brock Purdy, scouting Brock Purdy. We'll see what happens in San Francisco in this first draft without Adam Peters, and we'll see if they can, accumulate talent the same way. And you won't really know until a full calendar year or sometimes more what the talent evaluation process looks like. But This is a GM now in Washington that knows what the hell he's doing. He knows ball. He knows ball so well. He knows talent so well. I believe that he will not even consider passing on J.D. Five's talent. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's probably drooling over the arm and cannon this guy has, J.D. Five, because he's not just a running quarterback, even though he ran for freaking nearly 1,200 yards on the ground. He says he's 210 pounds. He's 6'4". And people are going to say stupid comments like he's too small. He's going to get beat up at the NFL. He's 6'4". He's 6'4". And he weighs 210 pounds. You really have a problem with that. He's going to gain NFL weight, eating NFL food with NFL trainers and coaches. Like, what are we talking about here? How dumb can someone be to be thinking that this guy's not going to get bigger, stronger, faster at the National Football League level? He's entering at 6'4", 210. What more could you ask for? I don't care if you cherry pick film and find a hit where he goes backwards. Like, there's also how many... Okay, so you can find a couple of those clips. Great job, Steve. Great job. Archive Eric. Archive Andrew. Going after these archives, okay? And down at the bottom of this screen... If you look, let me see if I can highlight it too, so you guys know what I'm referencing here. Let me see if I can find something to put around this. Here we go. So if you look down at the bottom of the screen, you'll see 1,134 yards and 10 touchdowns. Jaden Daniels had nearly 1,200 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. And that makes people say, oh, he's a running quarterback. He had 38-12 passing, 40 passing touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. 40. He had 50 total touchdowns. Do people understand what that means? Like, that is an impressive individual, ladies and gentlemen. That is a guy that knows how to be an absolute dual threat on every single level. This is one of the best passers in this draft class. This is not a running-only quarterback. People don't know what they're talking about when they say things like that. They really don't. Look at this. 3, 8, 1, 2, 40. 4 INTs, protector of the football. 1,200 yards roughly, or 1,134, call it what it is, and 10 rushing touchdowns. Unbelievable. This guy's going to be a phenom, and Adam Peters knows ball, and he's going to put him in a situation where he's going to have really good wide receivers. You could say that Dotson underperformed, but metrics are pretty good on him last year. It's kind of like a curious case of Jahan Dotson last year, because the metrics should have, they tell a story as if he should have done a lot better than he did. Trade Kyren, A.J. Brown plus the 1.84, Lamb, Evans, and Kittle. No, Kyren, A.J. Brown 1.8 over Lamb, Evans and Kittle for me, bro. Evans and Kittle don't have a lot of time left in the grand scheme of things. And A.J. Brown, while he's getting older, still, he's like a year older than Devontae Smith. I worry about his knees. You get the 1.8. I love Kyren for the long term. No, John, I'm taking the Kyren side. Appreciate your super chat. This guy's a marvel. This guy's an absolute marvel. And he's going number 2 overall to what I believe to be the second or best GM. I'm going to put him 2 because Nick Caserio is the best GM in football over in Houston. And what they've done is unbelievable. Caserio, best GM in football. Adam Peters is going to be proven to be the best GM or second best GM in football right alongside of Caserio. What they're doing in Washington, same blueprint that Houston is using. Same kind of blueprint in a way that Detroit's using. The same blueprint that Atlanta's using. You know, you in Atlanta, you have a defensive-minded coach. You bring in an absolute offensive guru to be your offensive coordinator, a QB coordinator of sorts, bringing him in. This is a formula that is just working beautifully. Kingsbury, offensive coordinator, but he's like a mini head coach. And he didn't do well head coaching and taking on all the responsibilities of a head coach. So you put him in more of like a confined head coach role, because you have a defensive-minded head coach. But he's not even defensive-minded. This guy has absolute skill sets that some head coaches don't have. That's what really kind of pisses me off when people talk about all these guys. Okay, so especially in Atlanta, when we talk about putting in charge a Zach Robinson in charge of the offense and Raheem Morris in charge of the defense. This guy has so much ball knowledge all over the field. This guy can quarterback coach. He can be a tight end coach. He can be a wide receiver coach. He can coach all of the offensive positions, and people just coin him as a defensive mind. Raheem Morris is probably, in my opinion, going to win Coach of the Year. And Zach Robinson is going to be one of the most phenomenal offensive coordinators. Dan Quinn, very good defensive-minded guy. You bring in Kingsbury, and you've got probably the second-best GM in the National Football League. This is such a good setup for these two teams, and it's very similar to Houston. And it's a blueprint that is working really well in the NFL. And it's almost like having multiple head coaches when you think about it. You get a leader of men, Dan Campbell, leader of men. You got an offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson that's like a mini head coach. I mean, think about it. The blueprint, it's being used. It's unbelievably genius. You got Ben Johnson's practically a head coach all in himself. And you got a coach above. It's a way to really dominate in the National Football League right now. You've got the same thing going on in Philly. Sirianni's more of like a delegator, and he did a real poor job last year because he had to take on more of the responsibilities left by Steichen going to Indy. And then now you bring in Kellen Moore to do the same kind of thing. Yeah, I'll be live during the draft, bro. The entirety of the draft. JD5's him. Not only is he a Saturn man.
The Saturn men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
Like AR5 last year. AR5's here. JD5's here. Like AR5 last year. Spaceman. JD5 is going to have, by week 4 or 5, this standalone QB1 value. If you reflect back into last season, around week 2, week 3, week 4, you started to get the vibe that like AR5 might be my starter. Like, I can't even start him. I've got a Burrow. I've got a Herbert. I've got, you know, and Herbert was, people still believe in him. I did not like Herbert last year. Against my defense, to strike my self down here, I like T-Law. T-Law didn't produce. There were a ton of quarterbacks that were up and down, or you missed, or the injury bug hit so many quarterbacks. Burrow, you had so many Cousins, you had so many quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers go down. AR5 was looking like maybe he could be your starter by midseason. You're not sure. By week 4, 5, 6, you started saying, this guy is an absolute monster in the making. And JD5 is going to be that guy. JD5 by midseason is going to, if not sooner, if not right away, is going to start looking like an absolute must-start, trade away your starter, or figure out some sort of creative move to better your team and put JD5 in your lineup. JD5, AR5, are they even the, they while they play a little bit different ball, are they the same player essentially in fantasy? The running aspect, the dual threat. I believe JD5 is a much better passer than AR5 because we just showed you the stats. 3,800 yards and 40 touchdowns for JD5. He's a much better passer than AR5. AR5 comes into the equation with a little more experience, even though he got hurt and didn't play a full season. But JD5 is an absolute beast walking in. AR5 is an absolute beast returning. They're practically, in some ways, the same. Despite playing different, they're kind of the same. It's kind of like two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. AR5, 5. JD5, 5. We got two fives going on here. We got three letters indicating JD5 nickname, one of the best nicknames you could find. AR5, one of the best nicknames you can find. It's almost like two Spider-Mans.
There are two fives? JD5, AR5? There can't be.
Oh no.
They're gonna cross streams.
Down!
kind of what happens when you cross two Saturn men, two streams from the same list. You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't want to cross streams ever when you're talking about two individuals that are on the same Saturn man list. Ezra coming in strong with a 10 wad. I can't tell you, Ezra, how strong that is, walking into an offseason dropping $10 wads
to the moon.
Like they're candy. Ezra to the moon. What's your take on McLaurin, Dotson, JD5? I think that McLaurin's been waiting like DJ Moore for an elite quarterback for some time. And we didn't know what DJ Moore was going to look like until he finally got Fields. I'm not saying McLaurin's going to be that good, but McLaurin could be unreal. He could be a whole nother level of McLaurin. And like I said, Dotson was such a amazing player prospect walking into last year. We were all kind of left dumbfounded that he couldn't be even remotely close to a breakout candidate. Even if it was like late season, we got a late jump on it. You know, kind of the way we felt about freaking the late start of Gibbs. People were like panicked on Gibbs. They come from my neck. Smitty, you told me to draft Gibbs in the third round. I'm never listening to you again. And he came around just fine. I think we were hoping and waiting for Dotson to have that kind of rebound. But again, if you look at the metrics, Dotson was getting open. He was greenlit on a lot of his routes and routes run. And it's really, at the end of the day, it comes down to, if you ask me, Dotson wasn't given proper throws and put in a position to succeed, even though he was dominating and successfully running his routes. So my guess is that you're going to see under JD5, both these guys way overperform. Hernandez dropped a $5 earlier. Would you rather have the 1.1 or 1.2 and Rashad White? I'd rather have... I plan on MHJ at 1.1. That's such a tough one. I probably would say 1.1. I know Rashad White's got a lot of value, but that's not a lock. He had really low yards per carry. We don't know if Tampa brings in a rookie. I'm not saying I don't like Rashad White. He certainly has... In our running back ranking video, this is redraft, he's in the conversation for that number 10 overall running back. So he's in that convo, but it's a big group of players, and they're there in that 10 spot, and I can't even decide. It's probably Henry. Henry's going to get the nod, or ETN. But because they have, all of them have questions. Henry's older. Rookie, we don't know who the rookie even is, where they land. Pacheco's got KC, who they look like they want to lean on him now, and they're finally picking a long-term running back. But they've been volatile before, and he runs so hard he gets hurt. Walker, what's his role? I love Walker. Rashad White, way under 4 yards per carry. So there's concerns there. Just give me the 1.1. Just give me the 1.1. Let me control my destiny. What if an injury happens in between now and then anyway? And you don't want to go that route. Superfish with a $5 hauler. The 2024 season will be exciting with all these higher end rookies in the league. Plus the guys who were injured last year will be back. There were so many injuries last year. Superfish, we don't talk enough about how exciting, you're right, the 2024 season will be alone off of the return of all these injuries. So that's a great point. And then you inject the rookies, and the rookies that are going to compete right away, even the quarterbacks. Absolutely. JD5 will get on that HN diet. Exactly. So people that say, oh, 210, he's 210, he's 5, he's 6'4". He's 6'4", and he's 210, and he's going to be eating NFL food, working out in NFL weight rooms, living in the facility, getting NFL training. He's going to at least gain 5 to 10 pounds. He's going to be actually a big boy. He could be a lot bigger at the NFL level. Not to mention, Ziggy, how old is Jaden Daniels? I know he's not the youngest cat, okay?
Jaden Daniels is 23 years old.
I know.
He was born on December 18th,
2000. So he's 23. Big deal. Big deal. He's not 22. He's 23. I know everyone's like, oh, he's so much older. Like, he's not old. He's still potentially growing. CeeDee Lamb, two off-seasons ago, not this last off-season, I believe it was the off-season before, grew in a half an inch. He grew a half inch. CeeDee Lamb, Not this offseason, the previous one. A half inch he grew in height. So don't give me this, okay, he's not going to get bigger, or Achan gaining weight. Ziggy, how old is Achan? 23. He's 23. Don't you look at me that way.
23 is an integer 23. In
Ziggy, how old is Devon Achan?
I managed to find information that Devon H. is 30 years
old. He's not 30! Ziggy, you're making me look bad! Ziggy.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Ziggy, how old is Devon Achan?
Son of a... From famousintel.com. Devon is 31 years
31? old. 31! Ziggy, off! Ziggy, 23. He's 23. Ziggy, you're fired. You're fired. You're gone. You're fired.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Ziggy, you're off. Ziggy, off. Ziggy, off. Ziggy, off. This guy's fired. He's fired. That's it. I put up with it enough. He's family. I let him hang around. It's like that cousin that just drags down everything you're doing. You get a call. Hey, my little cousin needs a job. Can you hire him? He's looking for work. You mean that lazy piece that, yeah, sure. Send him on over. Do him a favor. Have him show up late. Baggy pants. Doesn't wear a belt. It doesn't even bring a lunch. Okay, yeah, send him on over. Guy's going to last 1 week. That's what this guy is. He's been dead weight on the show. He's like Stephon Diggs. He's dragging the show down. We got to get rid of him. We might need to get rid of him. Achan is 23 years old. I love that people think Achan gaining weight is a problem. I love that somebody has such inability to understand football and the body and everything that goes into such a situation like that one. Let me see if I can find the amazing graphic. I love that people think a 23-year-old, a 22-turned 23-year-old player can't gain weight. This is a kid that's still growing into his body. He could literally grow a half inch in the next year. And someone's actually defining his weight, that he has to play at a certain weight. That is something you concern yourself with a 26-year-old running back, a 27-year-old running back, a running back that's played for 2-3 years at the NFL and gotten used to running a certain way, and their body's getting older. A 22 and 23-year-old kid, there's no definition as to what weight they should be. There's no, oh, he's going to get hurt if he has more LBs. That he's getting used to his own skin. Like, it's just asinine to me. So, JD5 to the freaking moon. One more time for the people that missed it. It's like two Spider-Man staring at each other. AR5, JD5, two of the coolest nicknames in football.
There are two fives? JD5, AR5? There can't be.
Oh no.
They're gonna cross streams.
AR5 to the moon. JD5 to the moon. Saturn men to the moon. As long as they're not crossing streams, they're doing good things on the football field, young man.
The Saturn men.
Look at him. Look at him.
Small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
Okay, so here we are with more news, more fake news, so we'll put the good news away. We'll tuck this over away. Adam Peters looking like he wants to keep that number 2 overall pick. Another report here, just if you want confirmation. Commanders GM Adam Peters said the team feels great about staying at number 2, and they don't see a lot of scenarios to trade down. That is all nice and dandy, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. Let's talk about this. My boy Raj posted this. I'll put props up to Raj. Ryan Williams, the agent of Ayuk, and just for reference, for anybody in here that thinks that your boy takes part in this, like somebody said to me in a comment, I forget if it's on IG or Twitter, hey, well, you did the same thing with Ayuk requesting a trade. No, I didn't. You were so sadly mistaken. I report with actual stuff on screen. And we talk about sometimes the validity, the ability to shoot down some of these reports. And when a report from Sleeper or RotoWire, The Score, all of these news sources say that a trade request was official and they get it wrong, I'm embarrassed zero. I'm embarrassed zero. I wouldn't take it back if Sleeper or The Score. Now, we question The Score even more because they've ruined our ability to trust them. So that's on them. If The Score said right now, Ayuk is staying, he's signing a contract tonight, it's going to be a 5-year deal, you know Niner fans everywhere would be like, did you see The Score report? Is that true? Everyone wants to know if it's true. Guess what The Score did in our book? They got a score zero on their report. And then they deleted it from their IG. They deleted the report from their IG. We put up their report on screen. They deleted it. I feel there's no responsibility on my end to make sure that I fact check the fact checks of the fact check. I'm here to tell you this is a source that is widely trusted. Another report, Sleeper, also reported on it. Unfortunately, they were all reporting from one report that got shut down immediately by Ayuk's agent, Ryan Williams. And then people decided to not tread lightly on this stuff, not go into it with a little bit more of a, I don't know, careful lens. And all these fake reporters out there, all of these fictional journalists, pretend journalists that don't have journalism degrees, that don't have any experience in the journalism world, haven't done terrestrial radio or any sort of actual radio. Nobody has any experience anymore. Some of these 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids that, yeah, more power to them that they know how to grow a social media page, and it's impressive, sure. 100K on IG, oh, yeah, you're impressive. Twitter, you got 70,000, 100,000 followers, but you have no experience. You're literally hiding behind that you are good at growing a social media page, and then you start pretending you have sources. What is your background, young man? What have you done in the NFL space at all to have any sort of credibility whatsoever? I mean, that's no accountability, no track record, no resume, no journalism degrees. Journalism degrees are not even sought after. You don't need anything anymore to just put up a Twitter page, be good at graphics, impressively gain 100, 200,000 followers, and then start acting like you're a reporter or an insider. You have no inside information. If anybody says according to a source and doesn't at least have a high-ranking representative inside the organization that I'm talking to, if they just say source, they're feeding you 99.9% of the time a bunch of manure. They're sharding in their pants. They're guessing and taking stabs in the dark. They have no credibility in my mind until they prove with a track record, not just getting a very likely scenario and predicting it right. You got no credibility with me. And so you got a guy that comes out and says that he's hearing that the Brandon Ayuk stuff's like picking up steam or something. I think right down here it says Steelers are aggressively pursuing a Brandon Ayuk trade, and the Steelers would be surprised if it doesn't land. And then you go back and track down the originating source, and there's even another subtitle in it that says that the Steelers aren't going to give up a lot for him. And so in this report it says the Steelers are not going to give up a lot for him, but they'd be surprised if they don't land him, as if the Niners are going to surrender him at this low amount of draft capital because it's the best offer. The Niners are going to do one of two things: get an offer that they can't refuse, or not get an offer that they can't refuse and keep Debo or keep Brandon Ayuk at the cost of calling his bluff, at the cost of having to franchise tag him and piss him off next offseason, or just work out a deal next offseason and piss him off and make him play on his option year. The Niners are not in a position where they care about trading him no matter what. They'll call his bluff. They'll let him have a temper tantrum. As soon as the NFL draft is over, he's got no leverage anyway. He barely has leverage because he's under contract. But this is why I say as we approach the NFL draft, we may hear his camp officially or very loosely in an interview behind closed doors in an interview request a trade just to see if he can garner some interest from some teams to show the Niners they should attack this ASAP or potentially at least listen to trades. And then when a contract offer is presented to Ayuk, because that's how it goes. If Ayuk's granted permission to seek a trade, he can go get a contract and an offer from a team, bring it to the Niners and say, look, they're going to pay me $28 million a year. You got to pay me $28 million a year. And the Niners don't have to oblige. They can still say no to the trade offer, no to your money. Here's $25 million, take it or leave it. But they're more likely to give him $28 million if that's his real market. Because guess what? If someone's willing to pay him $28 million a year, I'm not saying they are. If they are willing to pay $28 million a year, then that team is willing to give up also bank to get him. They're willing to give up massive draft capital to get it done because they're already telling you we're willing to go to the distance and paying him. So if he does find $28 million a year and the Niners don't want to match that, they will almost certainly love the trade offer incoming because the team willing to overpay there will overpay to get him. They're willing to overpay across the board. That's what a trade request does. That's why it's critical if he does want to maximize his advantages, and he has very few of them because he's under contract, it is to try and apply some pressure, get some incoming inquiries, almost like an appraisal of his value, so to speak, to get the ball rolling or make an offer, trigger an offer that the Niners can't refuse, and he goes and plays elsewhere. That's it. That's it. For people to say things like this is stupidity. It's stupidity. And where's the track? And I don't know the specific guy down here. I don't know if he has any journalism background or anything. I'm not necessarily calling him out on that particular piece. I haven't looked at it. But I know that a lot of the people that are saying these stupid guesses, stabs in the dark, oh, I think this is going to happen by midnight or right before the draft, we're going to get a trade, you know, a trade request, whatever. These are all guesses. There's no information. Do you know that there are two types of people that get inside information? Okay. One, you are a reliable avenue like Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or even Trey Wingo on a smaller degree. There are some people that have a line. Right? Connections to a team, even if it's you're a source for one or two teams because of your connection to them. You are either that person, which none of these people are. I'm not. No one is. No one is. In our industry, where we're at, this side of the fence, we're waiting for the Schefter Rappaports. None of us have a source. In 20 plus years of doing this professional, while some of these kids were negative 4 years old, and if not, they were sharding in their diapers when I was doing draft scouting analysis on CBS and NBC Sports Radio, doing this as a profession for 20 plus years. I have been given inside information one time. It was on the Michael Turner trade, and I had it. And then they missed the deadline, and the trade had to wait, and they couldn't trade him at the last second. He was announced to be traded. They pulled it back. Once in that much time have I actually got in front of everyone else on some piece of news because I had somebody that was directly tied to that agent. That was it. There's nobody, none of these little Twitter tweety pages, that little 16, 17, 18, 19 year old kid that literally surprised he built this high big Instagram volume eyeball page. Everybody's eyeballs are on it. And he starts saying things like, according to my source, you don't have shit. You don't have a source. Nobody has a source unless you're a Schefter or a Rappaport or, so that's one. The only other option is you either have somebody that is giving you information, but they're not in a position to even share who they are with the public. So they're either a rat, they're ratting on something, or they don't even have the full information. They're trying to flex on you. And they're going to give you this very spotty guesswork, and they're trying to do the same thing with you. Maybe they're impressed with you because you have Instagram reach or Twitter reach, and they're trying to flex on you right now and say, hey, I can't go live. Raj, I'm in the middle of my Monday through Friday show. I don't just jump off the show. You can call in if you want. I can send you a link, but I can't go live with you on Instagram. because I'm live streaming to Instagram. I'm live streaming to YouTube and Instagram. But you can call in. I can send you a link. I'll send you a link if you want to come on real quick. Let's see here. Raji boy. Here comes the link, Raj. Dial in if you want to be in. These people are ridiculous. Raj, this will go on Insta, on IG. So anybody, tell everybody to get over to, it'll be streaming on my IG. So you'll be on screen. Problem is we'll be split. Now, actually, I can put a little box right here. Anyway, so this right here came out, I think, really early this morning. And it was by this guy, Chase Sr. And he got shut down by the agent right away. Just slapped right in the face. The Pittsburgh Steelers are aggressively pursuing a Brandon Ayuk trade. And the Steelers would be surprised if they don't end up landing him, I think is what the rest of this report. And then as Raj posted here, Ryan Williams, the agent for Ayuk, says another report, quote unquote report, that couldn't be more incorrect. Fictional journalism should really stop. And that's the point I'm trying to make right now. Stop pretending you're a journalist. Stop pretending you're all these people pretending they're a journalist. I don't know if he is. I'm not saying he is or isn't. I don't know. I don't know who this guy is or what he brings to the table. But stop pretending you're a journalist. If you want to be a glorified fan page, you want to be a glorified news reposter, go ahead and do it. But stop pretending you're a journalist if you have no credentials whatsoever or you haven't done anything in the industry ever. You haven't been on radio. You have no journalism degree. You started a Twitter or an Instagram that got out of control big. And you were like, whoa, mom. Hey, mom, get that meatloaf ready. Look what I did in the basement. Look at this. I got 20,000 followers by creating graphics, which is awesome. It's an amazing feat. And the industry does need new people. But we need people that if they're going to claim to be a journalist, they are actually a journalist. You can't be a journalist by saying you're a journalist. Not a respectable one. So another thing got triggered. It was AJ Brown. And AJ Brown essentially followed some Patriots. And Tom Brady, he put as his you can see it right here in his avatar here on Twitter. He put Tom Brady in his avatar. He didn't unfollow the Eagles. If he had unfollowed the Eagles, I would have reported on it. And I wouldn't have had anything to go off other than speculation. Hey, he unfollowed the team. Remember when he made a stink like this in the playoffs? He unfollowed the team. He's pissed off. And I went live on it immediately. It is news. If AJ Brown or Ayuk or Debo or Brock Purdy, for that matter, and he'd never do that. But if any of these guys unfollow their team, it's news. Is it tangible news that has a direction we can take it with certainty? No, it's us getting on here going, whoa, 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 whoa. Something's not right here. What do you think it is? I do that all the time. There's nothing wrong with speculation news. But when you act like you have something, that's the problem I have. I don't care that this was even reported on all that much, to be honest with you. This is a little different. If you're just going to report on it, that's fine. And AJ Brown called him out, but that's still not that big of a deal at the end of the day because AJ Brown still did something that raised some eyebrows. And if anybody didn't think the moment he changed his profile to a Tom Brady that people weren't in the comments going, holy crap, what does this mean? It's okay to report on that. But if you pretend you have something and you don't, that is where I draw the line. I'm going to go ahead and say this isn't even take a lap worthy. I'm going to say that, you know, they drummed up some clicks. They drummed up some convo. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, why did he do this? I don't know if there was a certain point where somebody said that he's going to the Patriots. I have inside information that AJ Brown's, if someone did that, that's where I have a problem. I don't care if someone says, hey, AJ or Brandon Ayuk looked funny at Brock Purdy today in practice. Okay, you can report on that. There's nothing wrong. You can try and insinuate something's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. Like maybe you're going to be looked at as like a stupid show if you just do dumb stuff all the time, but you're not throwing deception on the table. People that act like they have something that they don't, or they read an article before other people read it and they act like they have something and they don't, need to stop. And you're not, these fake rushes to this news, and you might grow for a few days on Twitter, it's not going to get you anywhere. No one's going to care about your reports ever again. The score is scorned. I'm so turned off by the score right now because they deleted the report that a lot of people talked about. They put it up. Sleeper put it up. Like six different sources put it up. And I believe four or five of them took it down. Big sources that were worthy of reporting on. That if I see the report, I'll put it on my screen and go, according as I do to the score, an official trade request has happened. Per this. And then they take it down. So now I'm less likely to trust the score. Because not only did they not just say, we got it wrong, whatever, not a big deal. They took it down. I didn't take my live stream down. Nor did I say it. AJ Brown, anyway, ended up being, he said Tom Brady's his favorite player ever. I watched Dynasty and it brought back some memories of my childhood. Go look it up. Go look what he did in 2015 when he was doubted and disrespected. Yeah, I see the, look, so he basically just said, I did not think changing my profile picture to the greatest QB ever would cause controversy. But so again, not putting too much blame on those that reported on it initially, just that you know, there are people trying really hard to get views. We all are. I understand it. But there's a right and wrong way to do it. If AJ Brown unfollowed the team, the Eagles, there's a reason to go live. And if somebody says otherwise, they're just a hater on, for whatever reason, that moment, that team, whatever. But if you say, hey, he unfollowed the Eagles, I know why, I have a source, and you don't, I'm never trusting you. Deshaun Watson, look, we got two reports from Cleveland, and both of them are a little pessimistic, if you ask me, especially if you look at the wording. GM Andrew Berry said Nick Chubb's knee started running last week, but he came out and said that he's not sure, he's not going to speak past 1 week at a time. That, you know, they redid his contract to give him some incentives if he can get on the field. There's sounding more and more pessimistic that he'll be ready for week one, and for good reason. He tore his knee up worse than anybody in the history of football other than himself, with the same injury in college that was so bad we didn't think he'd ever play again. And kudos to him, he did it, but now he's 28 years old. Andrew Berry also said that Deshaun Watson is in a pretty good spot with his recovery on his shoulder, but there was no guarantee that he'd be ready for week one. That's why they've also brought in about 15 quarterbacks. So they got a lot of quarterbacks, Huntley. They've got a boatload of them. And they're pretty decent options when you really think about how to prepare for unraveling, right? And DTR is kind of that guy you like hope is the diamond in the rough still. You know, like if they can get DTR to come out and be, you know, the future, then he's their Brock Purdy. You can put all this Deshaun Watson nonsense to bed, no pun intended, and not really get made fun of for it. Like the Niners botched the Trey Lance thing, and no one talks about it because they landed Brock Purdy. It was like washed away all the sins. You need to do that in Cleveland. You need to figure out how to get your Brock Purdy to make all of this disaster go away. Otherwise, you're going to go down as one of the worst franchise trades ever, worst contracts ever, and in conjunction, the worst trade and contract together by far and away ever in the history of the NFL. Make it go away. Find a Brock Purdy. Do what you got to do. And they're trying their best by bringing in a bunch of different talent. Here's CT ESPN Network. This is Antonio Brown's news network, which we laugh at a lot, and you know, we definitely bring up a lot of his stuff for fun just because he's crazy, he's so out of pocket. Some of his stuff I can't put up on screen, but people are getting a kick out of his little network and him pretending he is a full-blown news network, and he's gotten a couple things like right. He's also got a lot wrong, but he's gotten a couple things right. But he posts stuff that's all over the place. he said something big's happening soon that everyone's going to be shocked. So we'll wait for that. And then according to him, Michael Thomas is close to signing a deal with the Chargers. This would make a lot of sense because this is how Harbaugh's building his team. A bunch of mids. Let's get all the mids together. And we don't need big names. Alphabetical locker room. No big egos in the locker room. Let's just have a bunch of mids and maybe he gets it done. But that's the game plan. And so Michael Thomas is well past his prime. We'll see if Antonio Brown is on the case and correct about it. Tyler Boyd going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, if and when this becomes official, if it does, for whatever reason, you know, it ends up being legit, then it'll be interesting. That almost closes the door on Ayuk to Pittsburgh. And so what are all those people going to say? Because, like, you know, if Ayuk was to request a trade right now, I think that the Steelers would actively be involved. They're very clearly wanting a wide receiver, hence why you're hearing all the places they're looking and poking around. But if Boyd is brought in as a Pittsburgh Steeler, I don't want to say it makes it almost impossible for the Steelers to go after Ayuk, but it's going to make it a lot less likely. So once that happens, if it happens, if it ends up being true and Boyd does become a Steeler, then guess what? That all these people that have been predicting all these things about Ayuk to Pittsburgh, they're going to be pissed off. They're going to look wrong, especially the people throwing mud at the wall. And this final report here, this is good news. You almost forgot this was going on, or at least I did. I reported on it, obviously, when it happened, and then I kind of just, you know, the Rashee Rice thing, a lot of other things came up, and you kind of forgot, Zay Flowers is still going through something. NFL announced that Ravens wide receiver Zay Flowers will not face legal discipline after determining that there was insufficient evidence to support Flowers' involvement in anything that violated the league's personal conduct policy in that assault situation that they were talking about. So Flowers is in the clear. Fantastic wide receiver prospect for the future. Played unbelievable last year. A lot of upside. It'll be interesting that the Ravens at this 30 overall pick decide to grab a wide receiver, because that wide receiver is going to be so good at that territory. Leggett, Malachi Corley. You're going to end up seeing a potential competition for the wide receiver one. Corley, Ricky Parasol, Ladd McConkey, or Leggett, or any of those guys, Keon Coleman, any of those guys would give Flowers a run for the money for the number one wide receiver spot. Flowers is good, but he's not good enough to fend off those guys entirely. Like, there'll be at least a debate. Flowers could win out and be the number one, but I'm just merely telling you that those guys are equivalent to Flowers, at least. That's the news. A lot to go over, but we covered it pretty quickly. This will be a little bit of a shorter show because your boy's got to get somewhere, but I'll be back tonight to go live. So if you guys want to call in right now on the phone line, call in on the Grindhouse phone lines. I'll take some calls.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Dial in. Your boy's here to save the day. We have the running back ranking video up. Make sure you go watch it. The 2024 redraft running back rankings video. Go check it out and leave a comment. There's a Dynasty one up on the Dynasty channel. But be interested to talk about these topics here if you guys are so inclined to call in and have a conversation. Any other remaining super chats out there that I haven't answered yet? Rockout says 5 rules to be good journalists. 5 rules to be good, a good journalist. Okay, yeah. I think I know what you're saying, Rockout. Rockout to the moon, appreciate you dropping the holler. Superfish, appreciate you. These guys are just throwing darts, relying on other failed guys throwing darts. Yeah, that's the crazy part, is like somebody's throwing a bad dart and everybody's trying to survive off of that dart throw that's already faulty. It's like building a house on cracked foundation. It doesn't matter what you put on it. Like Rockout said, the 5 rules of good journalism are who, what, when, where, and why. What's zero dart throw? That's zero dart throwing. Correct, Superfish. I knew what Rockout was trying to say. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Schmitty, how are you?
Yo, I'm good, bro.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm joining a little late, so I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Trey Benson in this year's draft.
I like Trey Benson, bro. I mean, what it comes down to for me is where these guys land, and that's really it. I mean, Benson could be the best rookie running back if he's drafted to start for let's say Dallas, but Jalen Wright would be better if he's in Dallas and Benson's in a place where he's going to be the backup. However, if you put Benson, let's say, in Houston, I think he's one of the craftiest players you could draft at RB. If Frank Gore Jr. was in Houston, he would be one of the craftiest running. So, like, landing spot, there's clear, evident openings are very rare, Dallas being the main one, that would make any one of these running backs relevant right away to the tune of maybe the number one rookie running back immediately. Doesn't matter if, let's say, Blake Corum goes to Dallas. He's now running back one in the rookie running back class. Do I think he'll survive? He has a better chance, and I've been on record saying I doubt him more than I like him, but I'm not writing him off entirely. I'm not calling him a bust. I just think the expectation level is going to be really high, and I don't know that he'll be as good as that expectation. But I do like him more in Dallas and more in LAC, playing for his coach Harbaugh, because I think he'd feed him. But those are the only two spots I love Blake Corum, really. But if you put Blake Corum in Dallas, the best spot, but you put Jalen Wright in Houston, I would quietly like Jalen Wright better. I might use ADP to my advantage if I've got a draft selection and I can trade down a couple picks and get Jalen Wright in Houston. I'd rather have that. But Benson in Dallas would be ideal. He'd be the clear number one running back. He's great. He's like a Mixon kind of. Like his style of play is very much like, I've heard comps like Doug Martin. I've heard comps like, I think Joe Mixon and Doug Martin together is a really good combination of comps. He would be a really good player in the National Football League in the right spot. And I believe he probably is the consensus running back one if you're a team that doesn't want to wait on Jonathan Brooks. Jonathan Brooks is the clear top dog of the class, but he tore his ACL. He's going to be ready for week one potentially, but will he be ready for full workload? Probably not. So any team that drafts him has to expect a similar year to Breece Hall's year back, like where it's kind of slow in the beginning, but he gets going. But Jonathan Brooks is probably my favorite running back in Dallas for the long term. Benson's probably my favorite running back in Dallas. Him and Jalen Wright. No, actually, you know what? I think I like Braylon Allen, Jalen Wright, and Benson all about even in Dallas. I really love Braylon Allen. Braylon Allen's the big body. He's not as big as Derrick Henry. He has a picture of Derrick Henry and Braylon Allen next to each other training. And I love that about Braylon Allen. He's training with Derrick Henry. It's fantastic. And Braylon Allen looks a lot smaller than him. But he's definitely the biggest back. He's the bruising, traditional, big-bodied workhorse. I don't know who's got that background reverb. The last person I added was Young, and I hear ever since I added him, I hear a whole bunch of background noise. So please mute if you're not talking. I think it's Young. Andrew's the only one on like right now, so if you guys can mute real quick. Does that answer your question, Andrew?
It does. I'm a big Florida State fan, so I was just curious. And one more, if you have time, kind of the same thoughts, but on Keon Coleman, because I'm high on Keon Coleman, but I don't want to overdraft.
I like Keon Coleman, but he has a lot of red flags. I don't think he's ready yet, but he could very well develop. Like a lot of players, the prospect is different than the player. Like A.J. Green wasn't a great prospect. A lot of people missed on him, but I thought he was going to be good, and he was my number one or two wide receiver in that draft class, even though he was nowhere near ranking that. Him and J.J. were very overlooked in their draft class, but look how good they've become. Yeah. So like Keon Coleman could become a lot better than the prospect, but as a prospect, I don't love him.
Fair enough. I'll go on mute here, bud.
All right. Hang tight, Andrew. I'll come back to you. This comment, I don't know if this comment says, Big Daddy says, are you done with the fake news? There's no fake news on this channel, bro. We don't do fake news. I don't know how confused you are or what confused you into thinking that fake news is ever dropped on this channel. People might get news wrong and we report on their reports and we immediately correct it. But this show doesn't break news necessarily. I interpret the news that's out there, and a lot of times we'll shoot it down. So you must be confused, but that's okay. That's why you're here. Let me go over to Travis. You're live, then Rock Out, then Young. Travis, what's up?
Hey, I think Keon Coleman was one of those guys where he didn't run the best 40, but like his in-game speed was really good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked if they didn't have the new mile per hour splits that they have.
The GPS. Yeah,
the GPS is insane. It's such a great addition. They should have really had it. I mean, the technology has gotten better for it, but if they didn't have that, we would have said Keon Coleman's a dud. But they looked at it. His 40 time was not great. There were a couple things he did good, a couple things he didn't do good. And then at that, you would have said Keon Coleman had a bad combine. But he had the highest miles per hour out of all the wide receivers while running the routes. He got up to the highest speed. So it's like, what in the hell are we looking at? Game speed. It is weird when players are faster game speed than 40. Some of it is like your start. You know, some guys have a really bad start. But even that, there should be a time inside the 40 that you're like, wow, he's faster. Like Jalen Wright. He had the second fastest rookie running back time. So those correlated, but he had the second fastest rookie running back time, but he had the fastest first 5 yards, which is probably the most important stat, if you ask me, of all of the running, because that's how close the hole is. You hit the hole quickest, you're the best running back in terms of getting, you know, into that gap before it closes. The NFL gap closes so much quicker than the college gap, not to mention the college is just a bunch of gaps. There's nothing even closes at all. So Jalen Wright coming into the NFL with a lot of people saying that he faced nothing close to 8-man fronts. And you know, this guy is just, you know, facing like four defensive players at a time and just ripping off and open gaps everywhere. Everybody said that constantly about Jalen Wright. Well, you might say that, okay, you can't say he's not going to do these things or can't be good at something that he was clearly good at. You're just trying to say, let me define it. The reason he was good is because of this. Well, you know what? What about his first 5 yards of his 40 being the number one in the class? You know, like, does that make up for it? I don't know. You know, everybody's got to make their call for themselves. But there are some concerns with everybody. There's concerns with this entire rookie running back class. None of them stand out. The one that did tore his ACL, so he has now the biggest concern, and he's the best prospect. So Benson's probably the best combination of everything from the healthy running backs.
He's big.
He's big. He's shifty. He's good on the sideline. Like, yeah. There's a lot of nice attributes. So if he does land in Dallas, he's probably the number one rookie running back. And he probably has, I would say, like Joe Mixon upside for his career in fantasy football. That's just to say that situation is so vital. Arian Foster was one of my favorite players in fantasy football, but he was nowhere near as talented as, let's say, a LaDainian Tomlinson or an Adrian Peterson. But in fantasy, he was just as good. So Benson could be a lot better in fantasy than he is right now as a prospect for the NFL. But situation could bridge that gap, and people need to understand that even though this class is very weak, one running back, maybe if we're lucky, could become elite. They could become elite on the back end of elite, but elite nonetheless, a top 10 running back. That's why in the running back rankings here, if you look at my running back rankings that I have, I put rookie inside this argument for who's going to grab this 10 spot. There's a lot of names here. I get that. And I traditionally do that with my ranking shows. I always leave my number 10 open-ended, and then I'll tell you who I want. I don't just like get wishy-washy and leave it. I picked Henry, but I want everybody to get a lot of names there so they can understand how the cutoff happened and what went through my mind, rather than just cutting it off and people saying, where's Pacheco? Where's Walker? Where's Wright? Where's ETN? Like, I go through it all. So you're not confused at all. You're like, okay, he picked Henry, but damn, the argument was good. Okay, I get it. The rookie running back, who is that? Is that Benson? Is it Braylon Allen? Is it the Cowboy running back? Is it somebody that's in another landing spot? I mean, the landing spots are not that good. Arizona could be a crafty long-term landing spot with Connor getting older. Houston could be a really good landing spot long-term. Minnesota could be, because Aaron Jones might not even last the year. That could be like a crafty, like, we don't know. And the thing about these running backs, they're so not valuable that any team could just say, hell, let's grab a back at any point in the second, third, fourth round. Well, like, Braylon Allen could go to the most crowded backfield. Blake Corum could go to the most crowded backfield. Jonathan Brooks could go to the most crowded backfield. The Bengals could take one of these guys, and we're like, wow, okay, okay. You know, didn't expect that. Buffalo could take one. They should. KC could take one. Like I have a feeling that at least two, because of how far they're going to fall, and these teams that don't necessarily need them will say, F it, grab a back. I think there's going to be at least two spoiled Christmases this year. Somebody's running back is going to face one of these guys. And while they're not electric enough to unseat a Kyren or a Gibbs or a Bijan, they could be a threat enough to hamper a second or third round running back and below. So anybody that's like talking about, you know, is like Moss, Zach Moss, or Aaron Jones, or I mean, even Pacheco, like all those guys are at risk of losing carries if the top back lands. If Benson lands in KC, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yep. Well, like you, talking about landing spot, like you had mentioned, Joe Mitchell, when you were naming some guys off, and I think you even talked about it before, where Mixon, Cincinnati, his first 4 years, they sucked. He didn't even have a good team until he was 25 years old. So arguably half of his prime was stuck with bad offensive lines. And then you saw for like a year what he was capable of in terms of points and yardage and stuff when he was on a good team, once they got borrowed on everything. But if you figure, that's just a good example of how landing spot matters and how much you can really hold a guy back. You know, because he was decent, but he was on such bad teams that there were some games he couldn't do anything with.
Yeah. I agree. Let me head over to Rock Out, then over to Young. Rock Out, you're live. What's up, my man?
Rock Out.
If Washington doesn't take JD5, what does that say to you?
If Washington takes JD5, what does it say to me?
No, if they don't.
Oh, if they don't. Like, let's say they take Drake May. They could take Penix Jr. And then I would be shocked a little bit, but I would just be so excited for Penix Jr. And I know everyone's going to laugh at that and act like it's not possible. Right now, it's not possible, but it also wasn't possible to everybody he was even going to go in the first round, let alone the top 15. We got some time. The 11th hour is funny. I've done this enough times to know that when you're even 4 days out and you think a guy can't climb from like 10, 11 to like 2 or 3, you haven't been, you were a diaper when I was doing this, when stuff like that happened. Cam Newton climbed in the 11th hour. Like, it happens all the time. People always get surprised by it too. And then you bring it up, they're like, yeah, but Cam Newton was climbing. No. Don't try to act like you saw that coming. That was a crazy climb. It happens very quickly. So in a nutshell, if it was Penix Jr., I'd be excited. I'd be like, okay, I love JD5 more, but like, damn. I mean, I would literally, it would probably confirm my Penix Jr. belief even more, because I know Adam Peters is on board to that degree. If it was Drake May, I'd be a little disappointed, because I want Kingsbury to get JD5 or Penix Jr. I believe they're more ready, but it would up the value of May quite a bit to me. And I think he'd be in a very potent, exciting offense. I don't think they're going Drake May, though. I think he's a little bit of a project, and he's got a lot of upside. But I think they see JD5 and Penix Jr., specifically JD5, as like they go out and potentially become a top five quarterback. Drake May could be Herbert, but what's Herbert right now? He's not even getting drafted as a fantasy starter. Not saying he couldn't be in the right scenario. You trade Herbert to Minnesota, which we all want to happen, and then all of a sudden he's in the top 6 to 10 quarterback conversation. But I don't think Herbert would ever climb into my top 6 ever again, because you got so many quarterbacks that are just electric from trying to fit Burrow into the top five, AR5 into the top five. But at the end of the day, Washington, I think, goes JD5. I think New England could trade it. I don't know if they know what to do. I think Drake May is certainly the right pick for them, probably. I hope Penix Jr. goes. In a way, I don't want him to go to New York. In a way, I do want him to go to New York. I want him to go to New York for Dable. Yeah. For Dable. Dable, look what he did with Josh Allen. And so I really kind of like that idea, but I also don't know who's going to throw to him. Maybe, or who he's going to throw to. Maybe they get aggressive and they bring in another wide receiver. Or somebody falls and we're just really excited about who he gets. Maybe Malachi Corley lands in New York. Maybe Leggett falls. Maybe they trade up, you know, and get a McConkey. Maybe Ricky Parasol's there. Maybe we're actually a little bit more excited about New York's wide receiver rookie that they land, but they most certainly go after a rookie. Jalen Hyatt's also pretty decent that we just kind of, you know, we're going to give up on him just because he didn't do anything last year. We might be risking overlooking him. By thinking that way, I don't think JJM is. I just don't see it. He's not worthy of a top 10 pick.
I don't either.
Is he worth taking in this like double digit territory for Denver or LV? Sure, but I don't see him as a top 10 pick.
While you were talking about Daniels, what do you think of Daniels' arm? Because I'm interested in your opinion on it, because there is. People in the chat thinking he doesn't have a good.
Yeah, they're saying that.
Nearly 4,000 yards and 40 passing touchdowns. Let me guess, the excuse is he had good receivers. Well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did he help make those wide receivers, or did the receivers make him? From watching football, I would say it's both. They both helped each other, but you can't do what his receivers did without JD5. JD5 is the one that delivered the ball. JD5 ran for nearly 1,200 yards and 10 scores while still throwing for 3,800 yards and 40 touchdowns. And if he was a bad thrower and if he was running too much, why is he only have four INTs? Why is his erratic decision-making only cause four turnovers? He's a ball protector. He's considered to be one of the best ball-protecting QBs in the game. And so when you only have four INTs and you have 40 passing touchdowns and somebody says he's not a good passer, I'm sorry, but you've got goggles on this thick or you don't know what you're talking about. You can't say he's a bad passer. You can't.
I think he's smart, but his arm is too weak.
No. I don't know who they heard that from last night on where they heard it, but they shouldn't watch that.
A lot of experts was the quote.
Yeah, not any credible ones.
People bring up Arizona and they say, "Oh, he wasn't that good in Arizona, but he wasn't a complete picture in Arizona." He's still learning. You know.
Yeah, JD5 is tested. People that say they're worried about his arm too are sometimes talking about the bursa sack. Like sometimes they don't clarify.
This one was just purely the strength of his arm. No, those are dumb reports.
Those are ridiculous.
He's got a
cannon. Not to mention you need another weird stat that you won't hear anybody really break it down like this, but. When you run for nearly 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, what does that do? When you're making TPS reports and you've got a stack this tall on your desk, but then you also have to make copies at the copy machine, are you going to make less copies if you've got a stack of TPS reports that are going to consume your time on your desk that are this tall? The answer is yes. How are you going to make normal amount of copies? How is this guy running for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns and still throwing for 3,800 yards and 40 touchdowns? No one's talking about if you dialed down his running to zero, he'd have 50 passing touchdowns, maybe 55, and 4,800 passing yards. Like, He's taking away from his own passing numbers, and he still has 40 touchdowns. He doesn't have time to do it all. There's only so much time in a game, and he somehow manages to run for 100 yards and a touchdown in a game, 150 yards and two touchdowns in a game, and still throw for two or three scores against a lot of good competition. Not to mention, there are people that say he's got the best arm in the entire draft class. Him and Penix Jr. throw a wonderful football, and they have a cannon. Like, and not to mention, they still got time to progress, get better. The intangibles are what matters. It's ridiculous to suggest his arm is a problem at all. That is one of the I don't. If anybody says that, I'd turn it off. That is just 40 passing touchdowns. We got a problem here. We got a problem here. 40 passing touchdowns while running for 1,200 yards and draining the clock that way, and taking 10 rushing touchdowns, taking away his opportunity to even throw an extra couple times. He's draining the clock, running the football, and still manages to have only 4 INTs and 40 touchdowns. I mean, wild. Just wild is all I have to say. Moon Man extraordinaire. Spider-Man. What's up, Rockout?
I said the only thing he really does wrong is take unnecessary hits.
Yes and no. I mean, when you run for almost 1,200 yards, like, you're going to get hit. Like, your sample size. It's like my brother. My brother cuts his finger, and it's gushing blood, and he's running to the ER every, I don't know, 3 times a year. And okay. And he's electrocuting himself. Like, he's constantly... And he gets down on himself when he does it. He's like, ah, why did I cut myself again? And it's like dripping. We're like, you need us to take you. He's a great fix-a guy. Great fix-a guy. The best. And he was down on himself. And his best friend was sitting with him. And he goes, you realize how hard you are on yourself when you cut yourself? He's like, do you realize that if any other human being were to cut as many boxes and wires and work with like cutting knives as much as you do, they would cut themselves 5,000 times a year. Like, your ratio is actually unreal. And my brother was like, I never thought of it that way. My brother's been walking around with his head held high for weeks now. He's like, I'm invincible. He cut his finger the other night. but it's true. The amount of cutting he does, his odds of cutting his finger are astronomically higher than the average person. So his cut rate is still so much lower. Probably best 1 or 2 percentile in the history of anybody I've ever met. My brother's got that high percentile of not cutting his finger if he's working with sharp knives. Yeah. So like, it's all perspective. So if you say to yourself, like, hey, JD5 takes too many hits that he shouldn't take, he's running way more than the average person. So you're going to be able to cherry pick and find hits that he shouldn't take. I don't know. Like, does he need to slide more? Sure. AR5 needs to learn that too, because he just got injured. And every quarterback needs to do that. Josh Allen at some point needs to start worrying a little bit about some of the unnecessary stuff. You know, now you got Saquon Barkley in Philly, you got to maybe dial back the Jalen Hurts tush push a little bit, just because you don't necessarily need it as much. But he'll still get it. He'll still do a lot. A brotherly show. Let me go to Young real quick, and then who said Smitty?
Andrew. Hey,
what's up? Okay, let me go to Young real quick. And I do have to go here in a second, so let me get Young on here real quick, and then go ahead, Young.
Thank you. I just had two things. So it's been kind of tough to, like, in which way we're trying to look at these running backs. I know that it's not a strong class, you know, and we're pretty – you know, but it reminds me of like 2 years ago, the Damian Pierce, Kenneth Walker class. Like, is this just a bunch of Kenneth Walkers and Damian Pierces coming in this year? Is that kind of how we should look at them, or how, what would you say about that?
Well, I don't include Kenneth Walker in mediocre running back class. I don't feel that way about him at all. I think he's a potential elite player.
He did good. He did good. Like, he's, you know, but he wasn't like a big name, I guess you could say.
I mean,
you know?
I mean, he was, though. We were really high on him. So I wouldn't lump him in, but I'd say like Damian Pierce and such. And Walker could still fail, but I'm hoping that this coaching staff is verbal about it and they come out and tell us, hey, Walker's getting fed. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Charbonnet is a big prospect as well, so there's definitely a threat there. But their values are so low, you can cuff the two of them pretty easily. But anyway, let me just answer the question anyway. And I've already said it. It's a mediocre class. I mean, it's one of those classes where landing spot could turn one of them. We're not going to get so lucky with the bunch of them because there's only so many good spots. But Dallas or maybe Houston or Cincinnati or Buffalo or, you know, one of those like kind of quiet spots could turn into a very, very good spot for Braylon Allen or Jalen Wright or Benson or Corum or whatever. The Chargers could be good, but I think they're running with a three or four headed monster. I really think that Harbaugh's all about not one person. He wants us to be like, if he could take the names off the back of the jerseys, he would. Like he doesn't want anybody to think they're bigger than anybody else. And you could say I like that about him, but we're a fantasy football show, and we want Ja'Marr Chase to be, you know, big, bad, and bold. We want him to be a diva. We want him calling for the football. We want him thrown, force fed. We want him to be sitting right next to Joe Burrow in the locker room. So you can say, you can defend Harbaugh from a football perspective all you want and say it's going to work. But, you know, that situation doesn't guarantee you anything if you get Corum in, like, the Chargers running back room. I don't know. It'll probably be a pretty good prospect, though, because of how much Harbaugh loves him.
It's a mediocre class.
But it's very mediocre. But elite landing spot like Dallas could turn Braylon Allen, as I mentioned already on the stream, like two or three times, it could turn Braylon Allen or Benson into a top 10 running back. All right, Young, I got to go, so I got to bounce you off. Call in tonight.
One more. Come on.
Hurry. I got to go. Hurry.
So I've been hearing you talk about Ricky Parcell. I've heard you bring Parcell up probably the Parcell in the last, like, two, three episodes. You've been talking about him a lot. What's up with that dude? I've been checking out his film and stuff, man. He looks pretty good.
He is probably him and Ladd McConkey are the closest things to Puka Nacua, like being an absolute gem of a find. And Parcell's not on the radar as much as McConkey. McConkey's a very popular version of Puka Nacua 2024. Parcell, people don't even really know he's there. And he's arguably my fifth or sixth ranked wide receiver, which is going to be higher than you see anybody have him. So him, Leggett, Malachi Corley, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Parcell and McConkey, I love, but everybody loves him, so I'm not including him. Those three guys I'm going to be higher on than really anybody, and they're my sleeper wide receivers. Will they all work out? Not necessarily, but will Malachi Corley become the next Deebo Samuel? He very well could be. Could Leggett become the next Mike Evans? Maybe. I really like him. If he goes to Buffalo, I love him. Could Ricky Parcell be the next Julian Edelman? Absolutely. Great hands.
Nice.
Unbelievable prospect. Great second round picks across the board. All right, Young, I got to go. Appreciate you calling tonight. Let me go to Andrew. Hey, Andrew, you got 10 seconds. Go, Andrew.
I just want to know, when are you going live again tonight?
I don't know. Tonight. That's all I know.
All right. I got some big time questions for you.
All right. Call in later. Rock out. Right. Rock out. I got to give you a little bit more time, but go ahead.
Give you like, no, you're good. I appreciate okay. it. See you later.
Yeah, hey, call in tonight. Appreciate you. Later. Okay. Travis, final thoughts?
Nope. I'm all set. I'll see you when you go on later.
All right, later, bro.
Thanks. Bye.
I'm out of here. Appreciate you all. Let me see. I'm trying to see if there's any other questions, any other super chats. I think we're good. I'll leave you with this video clip of Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man, JD5, AR5, the new absolute monsters in the NFL at the quarterback position of the running quarterbacks. And then I'll be back tonight. We'll go live tonight. Okay. So everybody make sure you're following me on both my channels. We'll probably be back on the main channel tonight, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballshow, but also youtube.com/dynastyfantasyfootball. Make sure you're following me on both of those bad boys. Appreciate you all being here, especially everybody from Twitter. I'll see you all later. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, there's the tank. We'll play the Tank Dell one, and then we'll play the AR5 and JD5 one.
Dear Santa Claus, I'm thankful this year, especially for Tank Dell, who helped my daddy win his fantasy league so I could have all the toys and candy I want, because I'm a selfish little shit. And thankful for my dad being able to win his fantasy football league, because he sucks at fantasy football. And if it wasn't for Tank Dell and the Fantasy Football Show, he wouldn't win shit, and I'd get nothing for Christmas, and that would suck ass. Love, Timothy. Ma, get me some meatloaf.
It's such a thankful time of year.
Hey, Chan. Hey, Chan.
This one first, and then we'll go with the fives.
His haters call him small.
But he is 9 feet tall.
Chan is the man.
There are two fives? Katie Five, AR Five? There can't be.
Oh no.
They're gonna cross streams.
Happens when two Saturn men cross streams live tonight. Appreciate you all. Subscribe if you're new. Like on the way out the door. Leave a comment. Your boy will be live in just a little bit, a couple hours. See you all later. Appreciate you.